Welcome to episode 352 of the 8-Bit Geek. Are you new here? Are you not? Well, either way, let me tell you what this show is like. It's a lot like being 18 years old and sweeping the Grammys. You've peaked. Nothing else to chase now, kid. Just time to go home. Nothing to see here. That's it. No goals to reach for, nothing to look forward to. I'm Jeremy, and with me today are two men who have never won a Grammy. In fact, they were denied a participation trophy as well when they were children.
From the Grammys?
I was going to say, you get those from the Grammys?
Sure, that's how Ariana Grande got hers. They're all participation trophy.
Give you a little pat on the head. Say, no, well, you tried.
Yeah, so isn't that crazy, man? Being, you just turned 18 years old. We're all obviously talking about Billie Eilish. Isn't that nuts, though, that you just turn 18 and you go to the Grammys and you win every major category? Isn't that just wild?
That's pretty cool.
When she first came out, when Billie Eilish first came out, I did judge her, and I didn't really listen to her music. I just saw her, and I was just like, not for me. And then I listened to some of her music, and I was just like, and then I listened to her live as well, and I watched like her yearly interview with, was it Vogue? I think it was Vogue or something like that.
Variety.
Vogue. I think it's Variety. So one of those.
One of the V magazines.
Yeah, some of those. But I came away highly impressed. And her live voice is almost better than her fucking album voice. She has got some fucking some tunes, man. She belts them out. She's got it. So, yeah.
So it was like her and her brother make music together, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, Phineas is her brother's name, and they write all the songs together. And that's awesome. She performs them because he doesn't want the limelight. So,
fair enough. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah,
I have to give her a chance. The only song I've heard was her major, was that Bad Girl? So that's the only song I've checked out. But I've heard, yeah, other stuff is good. So on your recommendation, I will listen.
Yeah, it's good shit. She, her albums. I don't know. I mean, do you, when winning a Grammy, do you win it based on how popular the song was or how well produced it was? Like, because she Ariana Grande had like almost every single one of her songs from her album in the top 10 this year. And so she didn't win Album of the Year. So it can't be based on popularity, right? Because that would, I mean, she should have won it. And I guess people are saying that she got robbed, but.
Yeah, they're calling them the scammies. That was a trending, that was a trending topic on Twitter today.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Because she didn't win anything, and then because BTS wasn't nominated, I guess, for anything.
And then Lana Del Rey also was expected to win.
Yeah, I was going to say she didn't win anything, which is bullshit, because that album, fucking Norman fucking Rockwell, was amazing. So I heard everyone was ripping on her because she bought her dress at Dillard's or something like that. I don't know. It was just really weird and petty ass shit coming from the Grammys.
Who cares? Yeah, I don't know, man. These award shows are all bullshit anyways.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's usually by critics or, like, you know, the people on the judging panel are usually past their prime in stuff anyway. And, yeah, I mean, it's got to change. They've got to really change up a lot of stuff because it's weird seeing, like, artists in genres that they don't need to be in. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah, Tyler, the creator, kind of spoke on that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm leading into. Yeah, that.
Yeah, he spoke on that in his post-win interview where he was, like, he's kind of pissed off that he won rap album of the year, because he was like, you know, why are we placed in just rap? Like, why wasn't I placed in a pop category? And so he brings up some good points. So he was like, yeah. But I am also very thankful that I won. But so
he was saying about that. And then the word urban, like as an urban artist, he doesn't like the word urban, and it does have connotations. It's a politically correct way of saying stuff. So it's so stupid, but I completely agree with him on that.
Yeah. So anyways, that's your daily dose of music from the 8-Bit Geek. And if you like what you're hearing, if you like what we're talking about, you're more than welcome to head to our website at www.the8bitgeek.com. You're going to find a ton of links there. What kind of links? Well, let me tell you. You're going to find links to our other shows. We do a show called 8-Bit Saga, where it's a RPG, a D&D RPG set in the Star Wars universe. And we, you know, Doug is the... is the DM over there. And if you don't know what DM is, it's dick magic.
District manager. I've seen it.
It's a dungeon master, and he runs the story, if you can call it that. Gonna lose a limb.
Yeah, it's like, man, you want to do this on the eve of another session? All right.
I see him writing something down while you're talking, so that's not a good idea. Doug will remember that.
Noted. What did we take this time?
But it's a ton of fun. Doug works really hard on adding a whole bunch of sound effects and editing it to what you hear. And it's a really great show. You should check it out. And we also have Divas Drop Kicks and Dives. It is a wrestling podcast focused on local shows while sprinkling in a little bit of the WWE.
When is that coming back?
It's coming back very soon, actually, because we're all in town. Mike's getting settled in his new apartment. And, yeah, we should be recording very, very soon. Speaking of the wrestling stuff, 8-Bit Brawl is back. The first episode's already live. Go watch it. Episode 2 is coming out on Tuesday for Patreon, Wednesday for everyone else. And it's a doozy. Also, spoiler alert for that. Don't watch that episode if you're not caught up on Saga. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So you could do that. We also have a link over there for our Discord. And if Discord is a fantastic chat app. So get off of your AOL. All right. Get off of Yahoo and move on over to Discord, because that's where all the party's at. And we're waiting for you over there to say hi, hang out, and play some games with you. So go do that. We also have our Patreon link over there on the website. It gives a little mission statement about where your money's going, so you can read up on that. And, you know, we're really thankful for the people who come back every month and donate to us. It's a real big help doing things like purchasing equipment, purchasing travel for Kevin when he comes down to go to a con or do an event for us. We use it for marketing and supplies and everything. So to make this show better, to reach more people, that's where your money goes. And so we do appreciate you. And for that participation and for giving us your hard-earned money every month, we try to give back to you, and we give you some extra shows like The Diner. It's a daily show that we do every day. We do a pre-show, a post-show, and then you get a ton of different extras and everything like that. So go check it out. For as little as $1 a month, you can sign up. For $5 a month, you'll get all the extras that we give you. So there's that. Thank you so much. And guys, I was inspired last week, and I wanted to start a new segment. And I tried real hard before we started this segment to get a intro music going. And I wanted to send it to Doug, and I didn't want him to listen to it until the actual show. But I didn't have time. But this is a little new segment called Bowling is Back. And we're going to bring you the hottest bowling news from around the globe. And this is just one story. And the first story here that we have for Bowling is Back is we just wanted to announce that the vacant Parma bowling alley is set to be demolished.
Oh, no. Parma.
Crews are expected to block the streets and the sidewalks. So
Gus Bowling's not really back, huh?
Oh no!
Tearing it down.
Bummer. Oh, R.I.P. in peace. The sidewalks in front of the Tuxedo Lanes, oh, as well as the former Jigsaw Saloon, will also be closed. The whole neighborhood's shutting down because of the bowling alley. See, the bowling alley was the ecosystem. Once that closed, nothing else can stay alive. That's a bummer.
They're gonna be turning the bowling alley into a parking space.
Sounds about right.
That's about right.
So there you go. There's your hot bowling take for the week.
That's awesome, man.
Sounds about bowling right.
Back.
Bowling is back.
We really struck out on that article.
Nice. So let's get into the real fun, where we do Amazon reviews. We read them in funny voices. They're really great. And it's a segment we call Amazon Reviews. Working title. Doug, what do you got this week?
Okay, so I have to kind of, this is very small print, so I have to kind of lean in on this one.
Okay, you get in close to that.
Alternate reality sweatpants.
Nice.
What? 5 stars, and this is a verified purchase.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
My legs have been cold for almost 2 decades now.
Damn.
I thought to myself, that's just what life is. Cold and a bit sour at times.
Accurate.
Nothing can change that, right? I mean, I've had money, success, the love of a beautiful woman, but I could never shake this feeling that my legs would always be just a bit cold and underprotected. Vulnerable. Vulnerability. The human condition.
Deep.
After years of searching, piling through tomes on quantum mechanics, battling, straddled on mountaintops toe-to-toe with spiritual warriors, waxing through peyote ceremonies at midnight in the grasslands of Oklahoma. After all that, sitting on a crowded bus with my head down and defeat, a man came and sat next to me. He looked me deep in the eyes, and I felt the warmth of his heavy cotton champion retrofitted jogging sweatpants touch my hand. I knew in that moment that I had no regrets. That all I had done in life had led me here. That I was finally home. That my legs would be warm forever. Never trust the way things are. I would say never lose hope. But it's in those hopeless moments that something in us searches deeper without the weight of us there. I don't know this next word.
Suerte.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Suerte is in Spanish. It's luck.
Okay.
Like, bueno suerte.
Okay. Suerte. Best of luck on your journey, companions.
There you go. Like suerte. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I give these sweatpants 5 stars.
That was a journey, Doug. Thank you for that.
So, mine.
Holy shit.
So I've got one here, and it's got multiple reviews on this. So I'll read them off, but it's for a gigantic multi-tool pocket knife. This thing has about 100 different items that you can use. From what I can see, there's a magnifying glass. There's an Allen wrench. You got yourself a wrench. There's about 15 knives in it. It looks like an air canister for pumping up your car tire. I don't know. There's just a lot.
It looks like it's a Swiss Army knife, but it's like a Swiss Army platoon, like a fleet. Mm-hmm. It's just so much.
Yeah. So here's the reviews. A fan says, gave it 5 stars. I tried to file my nails, but in the process, I accidentally fixed a small engine that was nearby, which was nice. The second
five stars.
Five stars. Owen Long gave it 3 stars and said, I forgot the knife in my front pocket. I forgot the knife in the front pocket of my Swiss Army shorts. And when my wife washed them, it completely disassembled our washing machine. Christy says, I received this knife as a gift for my 18th birthday. Wish I'd known it was what it was, because as soon as I touched it, I grew a mustache and became a Navy SEAL. JLH gives it 5 stars and says, I accidentally left this knife in the glove box of my wore-out 67 Chevy truck overnight. Miraculously, the knife fully restored the truck and drove it to the store.
Oh, that's so good.
So there's that.
Oh, boy.
Kev?
I've got a 5-star review. That's the best thing we can say about this. At least it's 5 stars, and it's a verified purchase. This one is, say goodbye to the rash under your coin purse.
Yeah. Talk about your balls.
Yeah, the undertow, if we will. Gone are the days of taking that long and slow walk of shame back to my vehicle after a hard and sweaty day of work. Now, we've all been there. You start to notice a tingle in between your legs. Now, that tingle turns into a mild discomfort. Then, out of nowhere, into a debilitating rash that just makes you have to walk like a bow-legged cowboy just spent 18 hours herding cattle. Oh. This is the best preventative measure I've found, paired with a good drift boxer brief that you'll never chafe again. And that's it.
5 stars. Get rid of that rash.
5-star. I don't even know what the product is. There's no picture or anything. You just call somebody and they just show up. I got something for it.
One person found it helpful.
It was him. It was a burner account.
I wonder if they're talking about the crop preserver from Manscaped.
Is that? How is your manscaping stuff? You've never given us a full review.
Pictures, even though we've asked.
Yeah, well, and video.
We want a YouTube walkthrough.
Well, as always, as you know how it goes, the second you buy one piece of technology, there's instantly another one. They just released last week the Lawnmower 3.0.
Oh, no.
That's great.
Yeah. So I was like, God damn it. That's great. And I will say, they send you, I did the package deal. Get it. And
damn it.
It came with some accessories, like mats to stand on, as well as like a travel bag, unless you gotta shave them boys on the road. But one of the things was a crop preserver, which was they call it like a ball deodorant and anti-chafing cream, I guess is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Okay, but this thing, the lawnmower 3.0, mm-hmm, has advanced skin safe technology. Now, does that include it in the 2.0? Have you nicked yourself?
No. Now, that's the difference is the like RPMs, I think, are higher. And this one has the like docking station where you can charge it. Mine has where you just stand it on the charging thing and it charges. Mine is the old fashioned like
plug-in.
Plug-in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the RPM, and then there's a couple of other things, but like now the skin safe thing is like that's like their whole deal.
It's got the 3.0 has a light, has a little flashlight for it as well.
I guess in case you got to do your business in the dark,
catch every area there. If you end up in a cave, just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
I wish they were a sponsor.
Dude, we are hairy dudes. I would take that sponsorship any day.
It's good. It's good product. Mm-hmm. I've been very happy with it.
All right. So speaking of manscaping, let's talk about the top box office.
Okay.
Bad Boys for Life squeaked into the number one spot for the second week in a row.
Hey, making question. If they're gonna make a fourth one, should we just go ahead and start calling this one Bad Boys 3 Life?
Bad Boys 3 Life.
Because it's gonna get confusing when Bad Boys 4 comes out. No matter what they name it, we're gonna call it Bad Boys for Life because of the 4.
Yeah, it has to happen. I think we talked about it last week how we thought it was ridiculous that they named this For Life.
They probably didn't think they were gonna get that good of like a reception.
Yeah, but they still should have just called it Bad Boys 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or
Bad Boys Hard Up.
That's been already released, but that's not something in the mainstream. I've got both volumes. Let's see here.
Both volumes. I've got the entire anthology.
It gets really good around the third one, I'll tell you. A lot of plot. It starts to pay off. But I don't know, like a fourth Bad Boys would be like bad, because you can't Bad Boys Forever.
I mean, that's not bad.
And it looks like it could be on like a notebook, like a high school notebook, like forever with a heart.
Oh my God. So they just film the entire thing. Like they go back to their teenage years or when they first started the academy and you just de-age them. Because why not?
There you go.
Because they did such a good job doing that with Gemini Man. It sucked, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say. And they're going to blame the frame rate.
Let's see. So Bad Boys for Life goes to make $120 million total so far. 1917 is, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful it has crossed the $100 million mark. So nice. It'll get a sequel.
1918. Everyone's back home who made it through the war. And we get to watch these young men, these shell-shocked young men.
They go through PSTD. PTSD.
PS titty.
PS. You got that PSD, that Photoshop document.
It's about the creation of the Photoshop file back in 1918. Let's see. And the sad thing is the gentleman came in at number 4 with only $11 million. I had a couple friends say that they watched it and they really, really loved it and it was exciting. Critics didn't like it, so it has to be good, right?
It's a Guy Ritchie film, so I'd assume that it's...
Yeah. I think I'm going to go see it on Wednesday. I'm going to go see it on my day off.
Hmm.
Hit me up, Ed.
Yeah, I know he wants to see it, because that's why I want to see it. And I was like, eh. Yeah, it's got an 8.1 on IMDb.
There you go. It looked like a ton of fun. Why are these fun, great-looking movies failing? What's going on?
I will say...
Because this generation's been groomed to only watch remakes and prequels and reboots.
I don't know. I would say... Ed was showing the trailer to B and Daniel a few weeks ago, and the trailer he chose, it looked like straight garbage. And I had seen, I was like, this is not the best. This is a shitty trailer. You need to find a better one. And he didn't, but it was just like, I mean, it definitely just had that like, okay, eh.
Come on,
so, Ed. Could have been marketing stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. So Apple and Netflix are probably going to start a bidding war over MGM. Apple has been reported to have early talks to purchase MGM, as reported on as early as Sunday, they were in talks. They're just starting to. Netflix has also been reported to be in the mix. So they're both looking to boost their kind of rep in Hollywood and more content for Apple Plus and Netflix. And the battle has started. And whoever's going to win. What are some popular MGM movies? What are franchises? MGM
Bond?
Franchises.
Isn't Bond MGM?
I think so. I think you got Bond, right? You got... Oh, boy. This is Bond. Starting at 1925.
Creed?
They had Creed, okay. So they got the Rocky franchise.
Singing in the Rain, The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind...
Oh,
a lot of classics.
The Species series.
Oh,
Thelma, oh hell yeah. Bring
Thelma
that back.
And Louise, Legally Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of old classic movies. Brigadoon.
Oh, they did the Addams Family.
Wait, which one? The newest one?
Well, obvious. I mean, the newest one.
Oh.
But I don't know if that's actually theirs. On the right, it says the distributor. So
the Rocky movies. It looks like
they got those.
2001: A Space Odyssey.
So they've got some pretty good ones that they can work with. They've got the Tomb Raider. No, that was Warner Brothers. Sorry.
Rain Man.
Start that Rain Man universe.
Yeah, and then a bunch of musicals and stuff too.
Chudvu in the chat says Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I said that earlier. Yeah, that's a good one. The original Itchy and Scratchy.
Yeah. So we'll see how that shakes out, but that'll be a big purchase for somebody. Man. I'm sure somebody's going to get it for like $1 million.
I'm just trying to think. Like, could you imagine either one of them, because they have all these classic like musicals that are just not anywhere to be streamed. I'm just looking at their list of musicals that they made, and it's just insane. Man, it really boosts your library, and also the other movies they did too. But
so Disney is in the news because they want to adapt their movies into interactive, immersive experiences when you go to the theater. There's a company called Secret Cinema, and they're hoping to make the most iconic Disney movies more immersive. And Walt Disney signed a multi-title agreement with them. So this isn't something that's like, oh, we're thinking about doing it. They're going to do it. So essentially, audience members will become a part of the show and the story from the moment they buy a ticket. They're assigned a character and they're transported into a pre-show narrative. And then the filmgoers step into the world of the movie, becoming their character and uncovering a secret storyline, and participate as if they were inside the film itself.
So it's a LARPing escape room.
Isn't that crazy? So I guess they've already done this as well.
Yeah. They've
done this with Moulin Rouge, Blade Runner, Casablanca, Shawshank Redemption. How the fuck does that work?
You're in jail. Have fun.
Stranger Things and Alien.
His name was Andy. What was it? Oh, shit. I can't remember his last name. You got to dig your way out of a prison. That's how it's. All right. All right. Here's a toothbrush.
Go. And it's,
go.
It's
if you want to watch this movie, you better get through this fucking wall.
It's a 2-week experience.
Andy Dufresne.
Man. I'd like to check out the Blade Runner one. I bet that was rare.
He crawled through a mile of shit.
He got out.
He got out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
not
spoiler
so much
alert
for the fans.
Hey,
some people didn't make it through.
Hey, if you've never seen Shawshank, you need to see it. It's I think we talked about it just a few weeks ago, but it's definitely one of the best movies of all time.
Kev, I have to ask, what are you working on over there? You got yourself a new vape?
Yeah, it's just a little dude.
A little fancy boy.
It's a little fancy boy. I got it as a Christmas gift.
Is it filled with a whole bunch of fruit cancer?
Fruit cancer, yeah. It's a jewel. Got it from a kid at school.
Ewan McGregor is addressing the delay in the Obi-Wan Kenobi TV production, saying that, hey, this is a direct quote, hey, motherfuckers, calm down. Calm the fuck down. All right, we're still on board. We're still making this shit. And y'all piss ants are going online just bitching about it being delayed. Don't you want a good show? Don't you want it to be great? Then just wait a little bit longer. Assholes. End quote.
Sort of. What he said actually was.
I was going to say, are you like his anger translator?
Yeah. He's my Luther. He's Ewan McGregor's Luther. Yeah, we just pushed the shoot to the beginning of next year. the scripts were really good. I saw 90% of the writing. There was all this bullshit about there being creative differences and all that stuff. None of it's true. They just pushed the dates.
So if that's true, then why is Dave Filoni and Christopher Yost among those two choices to replace writers on the series?
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, there was some stuff about, like, I mean, some creative differences, as well as, like, I think they were they quoted Kathleen Kennedy as saying that the story was something that had already been done.
Yeah, like the Yoda, baby Yoda stuff, like protecting a young child.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy, because that kind of sort of totally is his only role, really, mm-hmm. at all during those 19 fucking years. Yeah. So, I mean, I was excited for that story. But even if, again, I've mentioned it before, if you read the comics, there's, he does a bunch of other stuff on Tatooine while he's there, but all of it somehow attempting to be for the benefit of Luke. But I hope Dave Filoni. You kidding me? Dave Filoni was the one who, like, they, the Rebels, when we see Obi-Wan and Maul meet up again. Ah, please, yes. Give it to Dave Filoni. In fact, give everything to him.
Give,
give it all. Just have him in charge. Well, I mean, he kind of is. We've talked about this before, how, like, Dave Filoni and what's his nuts? Jon Favreau are kind of the ones that are going to be, like, the leaders for what's to come in Star mm-hmm. Wars and TV and movies, so thank God.
Good.
But yeah. Also, I will say one of the things I found very annoying about all this, again, just the assholes of the internet. You know, they're like, oh, this is all Kathleen Kennedy's fault. Like, she should be fired. And it's like, okay, but so you guys just spent like a month bitching about the new sequel series. You guys just bitched about how there was no plan and how there was nothing going, you know, it didn't make sense because they didn't take time to plan a story. So then they're like, hey, let's take a little more time to plan a story, and you're like, fuck that, where the fuck is my fucking shit? No. So it's like, goddamn, calm down, you fucking assholes. And then also some people are like, this is what happens, like, oh, what they said, if a man was to do this, this would never happen. And it was like, all she's done is surround herself with yes men and stuff. So, you know, it's such bullshit. This would never happen if a man was doing it.
Hey, Doug.
And I wanted to be like, George Lucas, yeah, the prequels.
I was just about to make that joke. I was like, can I introduce you to George Lucas?
Yeah. Hi, George Lucas. These are the prequels. That's exactly what happened. He did it all himself, and he surrounded himself with yes men. And so no one would tell him that it was bad. And that's what we got.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, there's just no fucking winning with Star Wars fans. Some of these fucking people are such garbage humans.
You know,
not all of them.
It only represents
so many of them.
It only represents like 1% of the fan base too.
Yeah,
like,
but that's the fucking
part.
Loudest ones, man.
I know.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's everything we love. And there's always that group of fans that you're always embarrassed about, you know? And it's like, yeah, for that. It's just like, and they're always the loudest, you're right. It sucks.
It's so crazy because, like, I don't know, having been a part of other fandoms and stuff, like, I've always liked the Star Wars one, but with this, it has just become so torn. And even to the point with, like, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but, like, the shit with the, like, Raylos, like, that whole online group of people who, like, were super into Kylo Ren and Rey,
mm-hmm.
and, like, how they, like, couldn't see that it was a movie and that they were attacking John Boyega because they're like, oh, someone's fucking thirsty. Someone's mad that Kylo stole the girl. And even, you know, and him being like, it's a movie. like, you know that I don't love her in real life, right? Like, I mean, like, I do, but not like that, right? Like, you know that it's a movie. Like, and then, you know, then they turn like racist shit. It's just so fucking mind boggling. Like, how the fuck? I don't know, man.
People
are terrible.
You can lead yourself down a dark hole of just following all that stuff and getting yourself upset. Let's just be happy that we're actually getting new Star Wars stuff. And, you know, some of it's going to be great. Some of it's going to suck. Like, that's just the way it's going to be. Like, and hopefully hopefully we get more better than we do bad. And right now, we've got three great things, and we've got three good things that have come out so far, That's so we haven't lost.
Rogue One, Solo,
mm-hmm.
Rebels, Mandalorian.
Yeah,
four the season finale of Clone Wars, which you can only assume is going to be good. I mm-hmm. guess it could be shit, right? That's like that's five good things, five great things, and then yeah, the three movies, they're fine. They're fine.
And then we got a great video game out of it too.
And I will say, you know, I still liked the prequel or the sequels better than the prequels. Prequels are just straight fucking garbage. Straight yep. fucking garbage.
And while they're garbage, they did give us some good stuff, but they're still garbage.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on from it. We could sit here and talk like this all night about Star Wars.
Can we?
You know what? Let's just retheme the show. Welcome to 8-Bit Star Wars.
8-Bit Star Wars, the show where we talk about this. Hey, this is 8-Bit's, the new 8-Bit Saga. We're going to rebrand 8-Bit Saga to something to the Shadows of the Old Republic. This is just Star Wars now.
Sony is developing an Anaconda reboot. And I know that this is what Kev wanted because he has said so much how that's one of his top movies.
Don't want none
unless you got
a good Anaconda strip, son. That's all I want.
I just hope that Ice Cube is back in it.
Hell yeah, bring back Ice Cube, bring back J-Lo, fucking John.
They cannot afford J-Lo now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Things have changed.
The people who make Anaconda, come on.
Things have really changed.
Money. Things have changed in the last 13 years.
Also, I want to know how much they're not going to afford. They're not going to afford anybody because that Anaconda, how much do you think that Anaconda is going to ask for? That dude, he's been in so many movies now. Get out of here.
Yeah.
At least three Anaconda movies.
Check
right?
SAG.
No, hold on. Okay, hold on. Anacondas, The Hunt for the Blood
Red October.
Orchid. Anaconda Offspring.
October. I missed that scene.
Anaconda Trail of Blood mm-hmm. in Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
So that's
Jesus
that's,
Christ.
So
is
that's
that a sci-fi
eight movies.
Original?
That's eight movies now. Count them.
Man, they've got a universe.
They got an Anaconda universe. So this guy.
The Condaverse.
This guy's making bank.
Okay. I don't think there's eight. I counted five.
Hold on. Say it one more time.
Okay. So it's Anaconda.
One.
Anaconda, The Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Two.
Anaconda 3, Offspring.
Three.
Anaconda, Trail of Blood.
Eight.
And then Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
Nine. Sorry, we were both wrong.
Jesus. So link in the chat's like, holy shit, eight? No, it's like five. Four, and then five if you count Lake Placid. So Crocodile versus
Anaconda. Jason. It was their Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
Chair can't math good. That's 13 movies.
Well played.
Sony has pushed back Uncharted to March 2021 because this movie's never coming out.
Yeah, that's the reason.
It's never gonna get made. I don't know why the fuck we're still pretending like it's going to. There's a better chance of an Uncharted 5 coming out.
Yeah, and that's not happening either.
Yeah, I wish it would. Give me a prequel series. Give me more brother adventures with Troy Baker and Nolan North.
Mm-hmm. I'll take that. Their younger years. Please.
Hell yeah.
You know what sucks is like they ended that series with the best fucking technology at the time. Like we got such a great, like they grew as storytellers. The technology was great. So we got a great looking game. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're done. And you're like, come on.
They got other stories to tell, man.
No, they don't.
No, they don't, Kev.
No, they don't. Yeah, Naughty Dog. No, they don't. They have this. And they have The Last of Us. That's all they have.
And they're not going to start a new one just for you.
Yeah. It's going to be The Last of Us 2, and then what? Nothing.
Right.
Because they don't have anything.
Prove it.
They'll just stop after that. Last of Us 2, final.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. Going out on a high note.
I'll call it. Fuck. They're gonna announce something at E3 this year.
Who is?
Naughty Dog.
Yeah, it's gonna be Uncharted 5.
The younger years.
Please.
Yeah, Uncharted 5. The adventures live. Of young Nathan Drake.
Mm-hmm. I will take it.
And they base it on the adventures of young Indiana Jones.
and that is why they're delaying the movie until 2021, because obviously Spider-Man is playing young Nathan Drake.
Okay. And how long before he fucking ducks out of this project? Because come on, man.
For real. He has to, like, why is he still holding on to this? The script can't be that good. And he's not hurting for work.
No.
Seriously. I mean, they worked out the Marvel Sony deal. Mm-hmm. So, like, all right, but you just got 6 more movies.
Yeah.
They haven't announced them yet, but it's going to happen. Because they're going to do the live action multiverse, the Spider-Verse. That's what they're going to do. They're mm-hmm. going to do it.
Yep.
They'd be fools not to.
All right. So let's get into some gaming before we get out of here.
Hell yeah.
So,
were we not already?
Well, no, that was kind of
I guess that was a movie thing. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
That kind of bled into gaming.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
so Atari has licensed... I mean, okay, Atari licenses their name out to pretty much anyone and everyone, right? Like, we could get a license and call this the Atari show. Like, it's just... It's that easy.
Can we?
Yeah.
Should we?
Let's look into that.
No.
Yeah, can we look into that?
This is your official Atari show?
This is the official Atari show where we talk about everything but the Atari.
Yeah.
No, we have to talk everything Atari, but that only brings us up to like 1988. So.
Yeah, then we get to talk about the Jaguar for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. But they also have that new Atari console coming out, which is complete going to be garbage. But here's a cool thing, right? People are going to love this. There's Atari-themed gaming hotels coming to 8 U.S. cities. So, yep. There's Phoenix, Austin, Chicago, Denver, Vegas, San Francisco, San Jose, and Seattle are all coming. Oh, boy. I guess the main draw is they're likely to be attached to the esports studios. There's no details yet. But each hotel will have an Atari gaming playground. Esports studios or venues, I guess, that will be inside of that as well. And
okay.
Are you guys awake?
No, I'm listening. I'm hearing you talk about this. Doug is not into it.
No, he's not.
I'm thinking about that time that we went to the video game museum and it was like, hey guys, let's play Pong, and it was that fucking giant like Pong thing with the
mm-hmm. I was thinking that too right now.
Like, that's all they have in their Atari playground.
No, they got Pitfall.
Yeah, they got Brick Breaker.
No, Pitfall was Activision. Well, yeah. Brick Breaker. It's just the different bootleg versions.
Hey yo, we got E.T.
Oh God.
Yeah, win a year on us if you can fucking beat this game.
Yeah, you get to you get to own the hotel.
Yeah, congratulations, you now own this.
Oh man. Oh, Atari.
They can have a huge slide, like a 3-story slide, but it could be like in the background, it'd be like a graph of their profits, and you just take the slide going down. That would be rad. See? There you go, Atari. That one's on me.
That's free. You get that one.
Just let me stay at night.
I mean, we're going to have to take an adventure down
it's
there.
It's already sold out, man.
No.
Yeah, I was seeing people tweet about it today. They're like, try to go make a reservation for whenever it was supposed to open in 2021. And apparently, like, shit's already booked.
Okay. I guess we were wrong.
There you go.
Because people want to talk about it. They're like, oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
so...
Like it's like that fucking, like, hey, spend the night in the Wienermobile.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
we
people
were all
did spend, people did spend a lot of money on that. I mortgaged my house for it. I remortgaged.
Yeah. And you didn't even get to book it. So yeah. You remortgaged your house for nothing.
They took my money though. They were like, "We'll let you know."
It was for a shot to book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was just a register. All right, so YouTube has been announced as the new home of Overwatch and the Call of Duty esports. So no longer will it be on Twitch.
Whoop whoop.
Good job, YouTube. I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
So
yeah,
it's so funny that they want to become like this kind of like parent or family friendly place now, and they're like demonetizing all of these people for swearing, and they're picking like some of the most toxic like video game like audiences to like sponsor.
Well, I don't know. I think, well, okay. In like,
you know,
casual,
every time we play Call of Duty.
No, I'm talking like casual gaming. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Call of Duty is some of the worst. I've heard some of the worst stuff in my life in a Call of Duty room. But yeah. Overwatch has been pretty decent. Like, it's got a pretty good community.
I mean, incredibly sexist, but...
Yes, incredibly sexist, but very positive.
Unless you're a woman.
Yeah. Or from China. So, there's that.
Doug, insert, like, the... whistle. We're like,
I don't have that.
Oh, you have like that XL with like 64.
Yeah, but I don't have that. I have hip-hop horn, and that's it right now.
Well, hit that.
Okay,
hit that hip-hop horn.
hold on, it's doing that thing where I haven't touched it in a while, so it's not doing what I'm telling it to. So here in about 20 seconds it's gonna play the hip-hop horn. There it is.
This is a high quality production of the 8-bit geek.
I don't know why. It doesn't do it all the time.
Just sometimes.
This is
why we need your money.
Yeah, because it played the drops at the beginning of the show fine.
Yeah. See, that's why we need your money, so we can build an actual studio and have a producer and that can hit drops for us.
Oh, my God. I wish. God, I wish. Become a patron today.
The most depressing ad ever. Become one now. Help us out.
Help us out, please. You're crushing my dreams. You're sitting here listening to this content for free. Pay me. Kidding. It's a joke. Hey, it's a joke.
Are the arms of an angel. Should play some Sarah McLachlan in the background there.
So Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Have you guys ever heard of that game?
No. What is it?
What?
Well, it's a game set in the Old Republic.
I don't know.
When's the Old Republic?
What that means.
It's set 3,000 years in the past. Future past.
The future past.
Future.
Days of
future past.
Nice.
So they're going to be, I guess the big rumor is that they're actually remaking it over at EA.
Good.
Like, they're like a complete remake. New graphics engine, redoing all of the animation, like ever. I mean, it's a remake. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. So I would love it so much. It is one of the best video games you can play. If you like RPGs, you need to make some time for it. But that's the rumor. I'm really hoping that it's true. I don't know when we would see it. Probably 2021 or 2022. But I'm definitely going to hook myself up to any machines needed to stay alive that long to mm-hmm. watch it happen.
Oh, man. Yeah, I recently started playing the original, and I'm loving it. I'm going to stop now because I'll just wait for this guy now.
No, don't stop. Have you ever played it, Kev?
Oh, yeah, I played it when it first came out. I did a Jedi run, and my roommate did the Sith run, and it was really fun. So we got to see like both sides of the story.
Nice.
KOTOR took place 3,956 years before the Battle of Yavin, aka A New Hope. Just in case you're curious.
in case you're wondering.
Hey, our show, Shadow of the Old Republic, takes place 995 years before the Battle for Yavin.
That's right. And the fun thing about that is by the time we're done, we'll actually be 1 year before the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah,
it leads into it.
It leads right into it. Will lead right just smoothly, just right into Rogue One.
That's right. we're a prequel to Rogue One.
Yeah, we just got 900 years to cover. So,
and we're 6 months in.
You guys have been we've had a listener who has been tracking the time spent in game, as far as like when I say like, okay, it's been 3 days, or mm-hmm. hey, you've been traveling for 2 weeks or whatever. So far, like a year and 6 months has passed, or so a year okay. and 3 months or something like that has passed. Yeah.
So just to give you some a heads up, it's taken 2 years to record.
Oh no.
3 years.
3 years.
Okay. It's taken 3 years to record 1.5 years of in-game content. And mm-hmm. so only 2,000 years to go to yeah. finish the story.
So, as of episode 44? I don't remember. I'm so lost. 44? 1 year, 6 months, 2 weeks, 1 day. That's how much time has passed in-game in our show.
Awesome.
Wow.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
Shout out. So... speaking of remakes, it looks like the Mortal Kombat trilogy is getting a remaster.
Yes.
So I guess that's a little different than a remake, but it's still, it includes upgraded graphics and sprites, and all three games are getting redone. I guess Warner Brothers said it wasn't happening, but that's a damn lie, because it just got a rating from the PEGI system over in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna happen, and yeah, I can't wait. God, it's my favorite. It's my favorite series when it comes to fighting. All three of them are fan friggin' tastic, and more my speed, because I suck at the newer Mortal Kombats. I can't do all these fucking combos, and it sucks, because now it's like juggling combos. It's just turned into Street Fighter. We're just like. Bah, bah, bah. I just miss the old days. Just want to punch somebody.
Joker's going to be in the game this week for season pass people, or fighters pass or whatever.
Is it? And it's like multiple versions of them, correct?
I'm not too sure, but they. I mean, it's full on fatalities. They're not going to like, because I remember when the last time they had Joker in it, it was like the Mortal Kombat versus DC, and mm-hmm. there's a T-rated game. So
yeah, well,
no
that was all
like,
all DC, but yeah, this one, yeah, they've even showed off the fatalities.
Yeah, it's
they're
brutal.
Gross.
I haven't watched them. I saw a tweet or something about him the other day, but because I was thinking like they showed off his original design and people were like, "What the fuck is this? Like, gross. We don't want this." And then they released an updated version. But then I thought I remember seeing something where it was like they're going to be releasing a few versions of the Joker. So you'll have kind of your Batman the Animated Series sort of looking Joker, and then almost one that looked more like fucking stupid shitty Suicide Squad Joker.
Oh yeah.
Like a pretty boy Joker, and then yeah. So I don't know if that's still true.
Well, the big thing about this Mortal Kombat, I mean, at least for their sustainability, they've got a lot of customizable outfits. So I'm sure they're probably going to be stuff like that where it's going to be easy to switch to, or I don't know if it's going to be that big for the Joker. Shang Tsung, they have one for him, and that's really cool.
God, though, it's such a grind fest.
Yeah.
To unlock different outfits and stuff, you're just like,
yeah.
Fuck, every just one match, I swear you don't even see the progress bar build. So, okay. Last story of the night. It's more of an announcement because it's something that I'm super passionate about. And Kevin, I guess, really loves it. And then Doug is checking out. So,
I'm watching the fatality. Sorry. You guys just keep talking.
Phantasy Star Online 2 was announced at E3 this year, and it's coming to the Xbox and the Windows 10 platform. And they're doing a closed beta. It's coming this spring, by the way. So they're doing a closed beta, and it's going to run from February 7th at 5 Pacific time. So that would net you at 3 p.m. Central or 2 Eastern. And it's going to run through, it's a one-day test. So it runs through February 8th. And you're able to preload it on the 3rd. And there's going to be doing a ton of stuff. They have a ton of events. They've got all these quests that open up every hour. And you get login rewards. They've got a live concert. You can win yourself a Dreamcast in-game. as an evolution device. You know, it's a ton of stuff for them to test out, and all your progress will carry over. So if you're interested in doing that, Kevin and I have already signed up. So if you want to group up with us during this beta test, you can do so. I will be home on Friday night playing this. And you could do it over, just go over to the website, the Phantasy Star Online 2 website, and you will find all the information on how to sign up. So you can play it either on the Xbox or the PC during this. So that is your PSA. Come play some PSO. This was your PSO PSA.
There you go. Yeah, I'm super hyped too. We played a little bit of the Japanese one, or at least I did, and I loved it.
I did too. I played it. I really loved it. But then I had to stop because I was like, God damn, I don't know anything that's going on.
Yeah, neither did I. I was just collecting items, doing quests and collecting items. I don't even know what the items were doing.
Yeah, I didn't know.
To have the English translation would be great.
I mean, I had the English translation on, but it's not for everything, and it's not for tutorials. Right. You don't know what to do. You can't ask anybody to be like, hey, can someone help? What? And you're just you don't know what quests you can go on. It was kind of a mess trying to play on the Japanese server, but it was fun for what I did. Can't wait for the US one to launch, as I'll be there.
Yeah, me too.
I'll be there. And it's going to be free to play. I mean, I'm sure that there's an online store that you can pretty much buy a ton of crap, and there'll probably be a monthly subscription that'll net you like bonus XP and any, you know, so.
Their custom, yeah, their outfits and stuff, and where they're going to make their money.
Yeah.
Their cosmetics.
Yeah. Yeah. There is Link. That's what I was saying. Like, we played the, I don't know if Kev used the English translation, but I did. But it was still confusing. Yeah, I did.
But it was like,
confusing,
like what you
as
said,
hell.
Only certain things had the full things translated.
Yeah. Like dialogue and items and stuff. Some items didn't have it, but it was just like, you're still lost. They had a big casino. I went into that and I played some casino games.
Yeah, me too. It was fun.
I didn't know that how the currency works. I didn't, you know, I was just like, all right, well, here's this. So anyways, that's it for the show. I hope that everybody enjoyed it. Stay tuned, because after the show and the after party, we're going to take it to the hotel lobby and we're going to answer your questions, because we can't take you up to the room. It's 2020. We get in trouble for that. So
the lobby where there's a lot of people hanging out and having. Yeah. And a drink at the hotel bar.
Unless you're Windrus, then come on up.
That sounds so good.
Cold water and pizza.
Cold water and pizza. There was beers.
There was beer.
But we also had water, and she wanted water, so we gave her water.
Mm-hmm. All right. Until next week, I am Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And, I should have said until next week. Until next week, lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.